Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's TOC podcast. I'm Joe Weichert, chair of O'Reilly's Tools of Change Conference. And if you want to see everything we're up to within TOC, be sure to visit us at O'Reilly.com/TOC. Today's podcast is brought to you by Publishers Weekly, our TOC event partner. Look for regular TOC coverage and original content on publishersweekly.com and in their print edition. So today I'm joined by Travis Albert, co-founder of Reed Social. Travis, welcome to this TOC podcast.
Glad to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about Reed Social, what it's all about, what it does?
Sure. Reed Social is a way for publishers to add conversations into their content. Basically, I've been working with my co-founder for the last few years on different social reading endeavors. And one of the things we noticed is that there are so many pieces to social reading that it's really easier if a publisher doesn't have to build the whole thing. So let me jump into my slides here. Usually when you think about social reading, you think about it in terms of a blog type format, usually where the conversation takes place at the end of a long article, really disassociated from the content itself.
Right.
Other times you'll see it pushed out to Twitter and Facebook, which is important, but really, again, you're taking away from the content and you're not really having a contextual conversation. And one of the reasons we haven't seen this is because it's a lot of work for a publisher to put a program, a system like that in place. So that's why we built Reed Social. Reed Social offers two main features. One is shared comments. So basically, once a programmer or a developer or a publisher installs Reed Social inside their system, readers can attach images, links, or text to any paragraph, and then others who come through can then respond to it. The second thing we offer are groups. So the publisher can recommend a group, or the user can create a group. And the groups are really important because they create sort of a context as well for these conversations to take place. And we treat groups a little differently. I'll get to that in a second. Really, the goal of what we're building is conversation in the moment, to tie people more closely with the text, to make them more engaged. This is a screenshot of our iPad library. We make two libraries that we give to our partners. So you can get the code for your iPad app, or you can get the code for the web. As you can see, a user here has highlighted the text and clicked Read Social, and then you can see a number of comments are attached to this paragraph. The nice thing about Read Social is it actually connects conversations in different places and systems as well. This is a screenshot of our web-based code library, and you can see it looks a little different. You know, the numbers are still on the right, but the user interface differs because the web user interface overall differs from iPad. So the main goal, again, to provide contextual conversation within content, and we think it really helps in a number of other ways as well. It's fast to integrate. I've seen people integrate the web version in 15 minutes to try it out. The iPad should be done in less than an afternoon. It's customizable. We actually give away the code, as I mentioned, for the iPad and for the web, so you can change how it looks so it matches your reading system. You can put your own logo in there if you want. We think it's useful in tracking how people read your content. We actually provide a dashboard once you sign up so that you can see what paragraphs have the most comments or what users have made the most comments. You can start to get a little data on how your content's being read. We give you the code that you need to integrate, which is also important because you never need to give us your content. There are a lot of systems out there that say, you know, we can help you add features, you just need to deliver all your content to us and we'll do something with it. And from experience, I know publishers do not like to just go handing out their content to everyone, so you don't even need to do that. You just add this little snippet of code either into your website or into your iPad app, and the overlay just works. And then again, we're user-centric. So these users, the people who read your content, they're your users. They don't belong to Reed Social. So when somebody uses this system, they log in through Twitter, Facebook, or Google, or we actually offer something that's a single sign-on where we can tie it directly into your login system.
Okay, so just backing up for a second here now, and I've seen a number of different sort of social reading platforms out there, and there's some really cool stuff that I want to have you show the audience here in a moment, but I guess the thing that I keep running into when I talk about how I feel like social reading is one of these areas that has so much potential in the digital content future here, and people criticize me a lot because they say, well, you know, reading's a solitary activity, and I don't want to have to share what I'm doing with somebody else. And right. To me, the secret seems to be not forcing the customer into doing it, but rather offering it as a service that can be kind of pushed aside, and they don't have to dig into it, right?
Right. I have two answers to that question. One, the web has significantly influenced how everyone consumes content, and there will always be a situation at some point where you want to share something. And it may not be every day, and it may not be everything you read, but we're conditioned to think like that now. And my second response to that would be the interface matters. People should never feel like it's forced on them. It should be to the side or out of the way. And it should be up to the user to decide whether or not they consume that content.
Yeah.
And so that's something we try, you know, really hard to focus on and keep it as minimal as possible.
I think another problem that folks have is they're used to using, let's say, the Kindle app or a Kindle device. And the social reading there is like this grafted on experience that's really simplistic. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm reading a book and I see 132 other people highlighted this particular sentence. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
What do I care, right?
Right, yeah. Well, as we get a little further into Reed Social, I guess I should start talking about how we handle our groups because they're actually subject-based. That's actually a really good segue.
Okay.
Let me switch to the iPad app, just a standalone app that we use to demo our iPad library. It could be any iPad reading system that chooses to integrate it. And it's really just an HTML page wrapped in an app. So along the right-hand side, you can see that there are comments attached to every paragraph there, and I can actually choose to click on one of those, and what you see now is a list of options, a list of comments that are attached to that paragraph. And I can actually click on one and see the detail and see any responses to it. Some of them are images. Here's one that's an image with responses, and I can add my own response to that and submit that. And it shows up there at the top now. I'm logged in through Google at this point. Some of them can also be links. This is an example of a link that's been attached to a paragraph. And let me just jump into the groups now. You'll see right here in the center area, it says hashtag partner testing channel.
Right.
And this is, I think, what you were alluding to a little bit earlier when you were talking about how groups are managed. This is actually a hashtag. All our groups use hashtags for their names. So a hashtag can be anything, right? That's what we know from Twitter. It can be a group of people. Like Mrs. Brown's third grade class, it can be an organization, it can be a movement like Occupy Wall Street, it can be the name of a publisher like O'Reilly, it can be many things. So we actually have what we call open groups, and they're always called hashtags. So it's really flexible. Instead of inviting people into your group, which is how most social reading endeavors are created, all our comments are open, and you just need to know which hashtag you would like to overlay. That's pretty significant because when you start trying to invite your friends on an individual level and type in their email, it can be tedious.
Right.
Can be difficult. And there are also a lot of silos that exist in that world. The people you are associated with on Twitter often are more professional. The people that you're probably associated with on Facebook are probably closer personal friends, and often you have to choose. But the way we designed Reed Social, you no longer have to choose. You just need to know anybody who likes this idea or this hashtag. Anybody who's interested in, say, hashtag ebooks. So let me change the group here. All I did was click the group name, and here's a list of different groups that have made a comment on this paragraph. And I'll choose Travis group, since that's my own, and click done. And it'll take a second, but then you notice all the numbers along the right have changed.
Right.
The comments attached to this paragraph have changed. So I can read with a different overlay basically on the topic itself. And it's pretty easy for the publisher to recommend a group. Whenever someone opens a book, there's a default group there. So it could be, again, the name of the publisher or an author's fan group, for example. Let me just...
Can I stop you there for one second, though? Because I think that, to me, that's one of the most compelling features of what you've got here. Because when I look at other social reading platforms, I mean, they're trying to leverage the social graph. So you log in with your Facebook credentials, let's say, and then either those people that you're friends with get invited or you can see their comments. But like you said, there's not necessarily a one-to-one correlation there. And I would rather be able to open a book up and find all these different groups in there, some of which I may relate to, others I may not, and I can kind of pick and choose the types of commentary that I'm interested in. And so that kind of gets back to that example I was talking about. If there's on the Kindle, if there's 132 people that highlighted this particular sentence, it means nothing to me. But if I can drill down deeper and see that there's 10 different groups and here's what their interests are, then I can kind of find out, okay, what did they say about that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole idea. You've got to have something in common with those people, and it makes a lot more sense to me to have a common interest than some relationship that may not necessarily carry over to
I think that's a great way to put it. You've got to have a common interest as opposed to being in the same social group, let's say.
Right. Let me show an example of actually adding a comment. I can either choose to click on the number on the right like I've done before, or I can highlight like I've just done now, so we do remember what people have highlighted. And you can see a launcher appears now called Read Social. So I can click on that, and it will allow me to make a text comment or a link comment or an image comment. So I'll go ahead and just add an image. I can zoom in a little bit if I want. And I can say I love this. It's uploading. And then we're done. And it just takes a second to show up, and then anyone can comment on it.
Very cool. And all those can just be threaded discussions, so it's not like you're just putting a comment that just kind of sits on its own. Somebody can reply to that. You can start an ongoing discussion around one particular piece of the content, right?
Right. They're not threaded as much as you might see in a bulletin board system, and that was a conscious decision based on simplicity. Again, when you start putting stuff in people's books, it's got to be simple and easy and almost mindless to use. But yes, you can reply to any comments. So the conversation does build on itself over time, which I think has a lot of value.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us a bit about the Read Social licensing and revenue model for publishers?
Sure. It's really simple. Basically, you just go, you sign up, we have a 30-day free trial, and we charge by traffic. And we think we charge a fairly reasonable amount. Plans start at $10 a month, $70, $200. So it should be fairly affordable, and it totally depends on the size of your audience. Whenever someone authenticates, that person counts. We don't actually charge for the number of readers that show up and read. We only charge for people who authenticate, so people who log in to make a comment. Usually that will be between 5 and 20% of your audience. And let me just show you the website here.
Okay.
That should be showing up on your screen here.
Yep, it is.
And you should be able to see the homepage now. We actually have the plans listed in the footer. And we do actually offer private networks if you decide you want one. We have had some schools approach us and say we really want to use this, but we can't bring in anybody's comments. We want a closed system. So we worked really hard to make a flexible open system, and then we built a closed system just for those people who might need that, ironically. Sure. I'd like to give a really quick overview of the web version as
well. Sure, yeah, please do.
It should look pretty similar, really. It's an HTML page, and we work with HTML and EPUB documents. So you can see the number of comments along the right again. And when I click the number, you see a list of comments again. You can make a comment, and I can say, this is true, and attach it, and there it shows up right there. I also have the ability to reply to it, but more interesting, I can change the channel that I'm reading with, basically change the group, just like I did on the iPad app. So I can change this to Travis Group. And there's the image I just uploaded on my iPad a second ago, and I can reply to it here if I choose to. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
It should be fairly intuitive. At least that's what we hope. But we also have open sourced it, and we hope the community will make suggestions or build on it as needed.
Yeah, and in addition to the clever use of hashtags, which I think takes this platform to a different level than everything else I've seen. You guys have also opened the service up through APIs, right? So what do you intend to do? What's your goal for that?
Well, the service itself, you can look at, if you click on API in the footer, the entire service itself is listed there. So it's actually an API itself. And then we're hooking into that in a number of different ways. I can't really talk to that in detail right now. But obviously, we based our entire business model on APIs, and there are a lot of reasons for that. I keep hearing people talk about agile publishing and how important it is to be able to iterate and get things out the door. And the only way that publishing will ever be able to do that is if they hook into other systems and use what's out there rather than trying to build everything from the ground up. And so APIs are a huge part of what we're offering. And I think that certain things like feeds of notes will be available, and activity feeds, but that's not really something that's open yet. So.
Okay, no, that's terrific. We, of course, at O'Reilly are big proponents of open source systems and just open models in general, and we've been advocating publishers to look at opening their content and services up through APIs, so I really want to applaud you for what you're doing there. Travis Albert of Read Social, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks a lot. Anyone can find out more information on readsocial.net.
Terrific. Thanks again.
Okay.